Hey, Red.
Hi there, Red.
Welcome to Red Square.
No commie talk.
Just common sense.
From a couple of uncommon gingers. You got that right.
Ain't that the truth?
So what's been on your mind, Red?
Well, I was just outside today, and it's raining. It's like just above freezing, so it's maybe 34 degrees. And I saw not one, but two people, one young, one old, walking in shorts and a t-shirt. A t-shirt.
Let me guess. They were white males.
White males.
They are the only creatures who pull that kind of crap in the wintertime.
What is up with that?
But, you know, back in the day, I was going to all these wrestling tournaments, you know, in high school. And it's wintertime.
Yeah.
It's always cold outside when there's a wrestling tournament.
Especially Nebraska.
Exactly. Nebraska and Colorado, where we were going to these tournaments. They're the only people ever inside that wrestling tournament in shorts were white men. Man. I don't know what it is about the wintertime and shorts, but they think it's necessary to just
brandish shorts in the winter.
I don't get it either, Red.
So we've all been cold and wet in our lives many, many times. Why would you invite it again?
It's so true.
It's so true.
I'm not trying to be cold and wet. Right. It happens inconveniently from time to time.
And when you can avoid it.
Please do.
Okay. Enough with that.
All right. All right.
All right. So I saw this the other day. And it's about cockfighting.
Red, how dare you? I can't believe you'd bring something like that up.
Well, it is an edgy show.
Yeah, it sure is.
So, first of all, I have never
I was going to say, do you have any idea what cockfighting was?
I know what it is.
But before you read this article?
Yes, I did know what it was.
Okay.
I know that
it's because of Jerry Seinfeld?
No, it's because it's been outlawed successively in different states over the years. I know it's a pretty brutal. I assume it's brutal.
Well, the roosters usually die.
Yeah, and they claw each other to death, right?
They actually attach little blades to their claws.
Now that is,
and they
alarming.
They claw each other to death, yeah. And usually the rooster who wins even ends up dying.
Wow, high price to pay for winning. How have you ever seen a cockfight?
Not live.
No.
But I've heard stories about my father and my uncle going to cockfights. And, we're going to go to the cockfights and gambling and losing and all their money and having one last fight left and putting all their money on it to try and break even and luckily breaking even. He's the one who told me that, even after the one wins half the time,
the one dies.
It's so damaged. It's going to die anyway.
Well, in Oklahoma, they want to bring it back to
public schools.
No, not to private schools.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense. You can do whatever you want there. You can say it's part of your religion.
That's right. No, they want to bring it back, but they want to decriminalize it and make it a misdemeanor.
Oh, so they're not going to start advertising in the church pamphlet that, hey, fundraiser for,
See Rocky the King cockfighter.
So anyways, Rocky is King Cock of the Hill.
But they're saying that cockfighting was part of Oklahoma's rural heritage.
Okay.
So, and I assume it's likewise in Nebraska and Kansas.
So was westward pioneers and Native Americans fighting and killing each other and torturing each other. That was part of Oklahoma's heritage as well. We kind of found a way around that so far.
Yeah, that gives you a little more context. But so they want to bring it back, lower the penalty to a misdemeanor, and allow cockfighting between live fowl and a robot.
Where are you getting this news? I don't believe this for a second.
It's all the news that's fit to print. A robot.
So now we're going to have robot cocks? I thought they called those vibrators, Red.
But <Bada-bum. laughs> All right, enough of that.
I knew that would get us moving along. I was done with the cockfighting.
So there, another thing I read was about this insurance fraud. This one I love.
Okay.
Four Los Angeles residents were charged with insurance fraud after they submitted photos and videos purporting to show a bear damaging their luxury vehicles.
Okay. I feel like I might have heard a little about this. Tell me more.
Well,
which actually showed a human in a bear costume that they filmed destroying the insides of their car.
And it really wasn't even that well done.
No. They received nearly $142,000.
In insurance claims?
Yes.
Because it just completely totaled the car.
Right, right.
And it's bears have broken into unlocked vehicles.
Of course, of course.
But man, what a scheme.
Well, they said they had some state biologist watch the video and said, it did not move like a bear.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not that hard to figure out.
But here's what I'm thinking.
So now your car's screwed. You get no settlement, and you're probably going to end up either with a big fine or a little jail time or both.
Right. But here's what I'm thinking. Here you have four guys sitting around a table trying to think how they can make money. I got an idea. Ralph over here will dress as a bear.
Yeah, right?
And rip up the cars. Who thought that was a good idea?
I wonder how many beers in they were when they came up with that one.
Three beers, one bear. I don't know.
It's better than a pyramid scheme.
There you go.
It's less risky than selling crack. Let's go for it.
All right. It's time for my, since I'm a loyal Democrat, my rump.
Wait, you're a Democrat?
I am a Democrat.
Oh, geez. I don't know that any of our listeners would tell.
Lifelong.
Good for you.
They would infer. Okay, I was driving around on Monday and just listened to the radio, and these reports on this new administration just come out fast and furious. Like, they're overwhelming us with all these things.
There is a lot of action going on.
And I understand that, you know, Trump won by I call him Rump. Because, you know, he's an ass.
Oh, look at that, Red. Tell us how you really feel.
But we voted. They voted for him. And I think the American people were hoodwinked.
Well, he is our president.
Yes, he is our president.
But, you know, and I'm hopeful. I want him to do good things for the country. I don't expect it, but I am hopeful.
Well, the national pundits are saying he's tripping right and left.
Well, he's just not helping us. He's helping other ultra-rich people.
Right. And he was voted in as a man of the people.
Well, of course.
Okay, but anyways, they were hoodwinked by the Trump-Musk co-presidency. Key word here, co-presidency. We didn't vote for Musk.
No one saw that coming, I don't think.
No. They saw Musk finance the presidential run, but were caught unaware that Trump would unleash this billionaire who would cut and slash programs illegally and violate federal employees and congressionally mandated funding.
Okay, you're going to have to go back on that one a little bit. Tell me a little bit about that again. So, this is just from your mind to the page?
Yes, yes. So he cut all these programs. He cut USAID.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
That one's been famously in the news lately for huge cuts and people being out of work and allegedly uncovering tons of fraud at that agency as well.
More importantly, though, we have an ex-brother-in-law in our family who is now working for, not the Peace Corps, but something similar.
Okay.
In Africa. And he said his program is not being cut by these slashes, but the NGOs that supply his programs are being cut seriously. And he said over in Africa, people are dying.
I know.
That's the tragedy of this.
This is what Trump ran on, though, on American, you know, exceptionalism / isolationism. You know, America first. We're going to worry about everyone here before we worry about anyone in Africa. And I think the thing that some people don't realize is we've had such a hand in so many things in Africa, both ripping off the people and raping their land, as well as now trying to help people as well, that in some situations, I think there's a lot of dependence on USAID. And without it, people are going to die.
Right. Well, and that's the whole bottom line is, these cuts in these programs are going to cut not only the livelihood of many workers in Africa, but the lives of people in Africa too. And that's the tragedy. To the administration, it's just numbers. But in life, it's livelihoods and lives.
Yeah, it is wild, all the things that are being signed off on executive orders and all this, and then judges stopping it and
Right.
We'll see how it all shakes out.
In a flurry of lawsuits. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Because, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty bizarre right now, though.
I guess Steve Bannon said that, you know, the way to do it is like a muzzle loader. You just fire as much as you can and see what lands.
So yeah.
Try to overwhelm us with all these.
The shotgun approach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
So we'll see what works out there.
Yes, we will. Well.
Hey. On a lighter note,
yes.
What's going on in the sports world?
Ah, well, we are only a day or two away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
To spring training.
I'm so excited. Full squad reports on Sunday, I think.
Right, a couple days later.
And then their full squad workouts start middle of next week.
Baseball is back.
It's February 12th, ladies and gentlemen. By the middle of February, spring training will have begun.
And more importantly, we're that much closer to opening day.
That is what I feel a real holiday in this city.
That's right. It is a holiday.
And how many days away are we? I know you keep track of this from like the last day of the season till when opening day starts.
We only have 55 days.
55. That's less than 2 months.
Yes, it is.
And we got our tickets. The wifey was on the phone when they opened up and we got our tickets. This year is a kind of cool year for us for opening day. We're not up in the upper bowl anymore.
Right. We're in the lower bowl.
We're moving on up.
Well, we're longtime fans.
Well, and we've been getting these. How many years have we shared a season ticket package?
Easily 8, right?
I'm thinking it's getting close to 10.
Yeah.
So it's got to be 8, 9, 10, something like
that. And how many opening days have we gone to?
Way more than that.
Yeah.
Over 10 for sure. Yeah.
What's your favorite opening day story?
Oh, geez. There's so many of them, but the one where I'm walking from our house to the bus stop and I have my light jacket on and I'm like, oh my God, I might be too hot at the game. It is so hot right now. And then we ride the bus and get down to the game and the temperature drops 40 degrees.
Right. Well, but more importantly, I remember this vividly. They stopped the game without any weather. And we waited like 2 hours.
That's
right.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
You're right. I forgot about that part. We just sat there and let it get cold.
Right. and then they played the game.
Exactly.
And it was so cold. That I had to give you a jacket.
I was going to say, you ended up saving my life with the jacket you let me wear.
But we also, probably the only time we've done this is left early.
We bailed after like the fifth inning.
Yeah.
We were like, this is it. We're out. We went over like to some bar across the street and watched it on TV.
Right.
Man, we got sauced that day too.
We did. That's what happens when you go to bars after games.
Yeah, it's a good thing we got a ride home because we were getting loose by the time that one was over. Well, I'm excited about baseball beginning, but we also need to make sure we cover today's National Day. What is the holiday for February 12th, 2025, Red?
Well, there's two.
Oh, okay. Of course. Well, there's always a variety to choose from, which kind of cracks me up that every day needs not just one holiday, but multiple national days.
I guess people think that 365 days is not enough.
Or
there's just a proliferation of national holidays.
We need more parties, or we just have so many like people who have so many different interests and they want a holiday for their interest.
Well, first, we'll start off with National Hug Day.
National Hug Day?
So after the show, you can give me a hug.
Yeah, we'll see how the show goes first, Red. No, you know, like I'm not afraid to give another man a hug. I don't see, you know, any issue with that. I know some people, I don't know, I think it's a little funny or whatever, but I'm like, whatever.
What one of my favorite cartoons.
Friends shake hands, brothers hug.
Yeah, one of my favorite cartoons I've ever done is have these two guys hugging. You can see one guy is clearly uncomfortable. And he's saying, in his head, he's saying, I miss the handshake.
Well, he must have loved COVID because he didn't even have to touch anybody. Right. Well, the guy who does our retirement does not like hugs.
No. Nope.
And he said because he was like, there's so many people who come into my office and want to give me a hug. So I'm buying this children's book that says, Doug doesn't like hugs. And his name's Doug. He was like, it's perfect. I'm going to just put it on my desk and hopefully people will take the hint.
She's probably open to a certain page.
All right. Or no, it's Don't Hug Doug. That's the title of it.
Oh.
Don't Hug Doug.
That's up there with, what is it? What's his tax man, Tim?
I mean, right? Both financial guys.
Right. So.
Tell me a little bit. You got nothing on it?
No.
You don't know when it started? You don't know. How do you celebrate National Hug Day?
You just hug. That's all.
You just hug it out.
Simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Not you, but that's the.
I know the acronym.
The other one is, it's Plum Pudding Day.
Have you ever had plum pudding?
I might have. You know why?
Why?
Because I found out plum pudding does not contain plums.
Oh, well, well. So, is it one of these things where, like in the UK, they call all desserts pudding?
Something like that. But it's an old medieval recipe where it's also British. It's boiled or steamed cake made with lots of dried fruit, candied fruit, little flour, breadcrumbs, shredded suet.
What is that?
Suet is the stuff you feed birds. You know, it looks like.
It's like a grain?
Like fat. It's like fat.
Fat?
In a bag, yeah.
You feed birds? How do you know about this?
We feed suet to the birds all the time.
Who are, what birds?
The ones that we out front.
Now, wait a second. You chase geese off property for a living, but you're buying and feeding suet to birds at your house?
To the wild birds. To the little ones.
Those are domesticated geese, Red? I don't think so.
Although we're not doing it right now, by the way.
Wow. You just, the levels of Red, the complexity of this man.
Life is complex.
You're right. Talking to the microphone.
So the suet, when it's in the oven, creates air holes. And you know what else is a very important ingredient in this plum pudding?
It's not plums.
Nope.
What?
Booze.
Ooh.
So basically, you know what plum pudding is, though?
Like rum pudding?
No. Fruitcake.
Oh. No good.
No good.
You're a big literature guy.
Yeah.
Charles Dickens.
Right.
Never liked him as a kid. Thought that the plays and stories were all dumb.
Well, he lived in my neighborhood, actually.
You guys were buddies? You had drinks together?
No, he was an intellectual type.
I got you. Well, anyway, I didn't realize till I was an adult how well written Christmas Carol is. And they talk about pudding.
Oh, yeah, plum pudding.
But it's not.
It's not pudding.
It's not think of pudding. Right. It just means dessert.
It's a bread, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That just shows you.
Remember that Pink Floyd song? You can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat.
But that's just Americans. Again, Americans only live in America. They just don't know other cultures.
Well.
I mean, pudding's been around for 600 years. America's been around for 250.
Yeah, good point. Pudding outlives the U.S.
That's right. But so I just wanted to say, happy National Plum Pudding Day.
Okay. Now, Snack Stick Day, you brought some over.
Right.
Did you break out some plum pudding for us to try?
Would you really eat, would you really eat fruitcake?
I would do it for the show.
I thought about it.
I would do it for the show, Red.
Okay. I
ate those nasty snack sticks for the show. Only one of them was good.
I know. And we tried four.
Exactly. The Slim Jim, I was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
I remember eating these as a kid, and it's not even close to meat.
And they didn't get any better.
No, definitely not.
All right, so let's get over to the
Ginger Report. Well, we have a special Ginger Report today, near and dear to my heart. Today's Ginger Report.
And what could it be?
It's all about my Grandma Chase.
Grandma Chase.
She was a really, really awesome lady. She, my mom's mom, Grandma Chase, just as a child, I remember her being so kind and so generous and just such an awesome lady.
Now, did she live close to you as when you grew up?
That was the thing. I lived with her until I was 2 years old.
Wow.
Both of my parents, my mom was still going to school, so she had to go to high school still and finish, and I was staying at home while that was happening. I assume my father was working somewhere during this.
And where was this?
This was in Sabetha, Kansas.
Sabetha, Kansas. So you were actually originated in Kansas.
I did. I was born in a tiny little town, Hiawatha, Kansas. That's where the hospital was, I guess.
How big is Hiawatha?
Under 1,000 people, I believe. Sabetha is under like 2,000 or under 3,000. It's also very small. So my parents as teenagers had me and getting kind of started with their lives. I was living with them at my Grandma Chase's house.
And was your dad living with them too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so was your grandmother married at the time?
Yeah. My grandma was married to my grandpa, okay. Grandpa Chase. Grandpa Chase was sick from when I was a young kid. You didn't see him very much. He really mostly just slept. When he did come out, he would usually come out in like a white t-shirt and white, like whitey tidy underwear and sit at the kitchen table and smoke cigarettes and drink a couple cups of coffee.
Almost
maybe
like very Archie Bunk.
A little bit, maybe eat a little something. Yeah, that's actually there were definitely some
similarities.
Definitely.
I can't imagine like living with my grandparents, especially on my father's side, because my father, my grandparents came from Hungary. So they lived in a Hungarian community in Toledo. And my father was raised Hungarian.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he married my mother, she was not Hungarian, and she was not accepted by the family because she was not Hungarian. So my parents moved to Cleveland from Toledo.
Oh, just to kind of get away from all that?
Yeah, well, my father also used the GI Bill to go to school.
Okay.
Okay. So I would go back to Toledo, and my grandparents were these old Hungarian little people. They were like 5'3 and 5'4. And they looked old, so old. And they spoke Hungarian. So we would go there.
They didn't even know English?
No, they had some English.
Okay.
But they spoke
mostly Hungarian.
Yeah. And my father said, didn't teach us Hungarian growing up, he said, because it was so confusing for him growing up, because he had to speak Hungarian at home and then English in the schools.
Are you sad about that? Wouldn't it be cool to know a second language?
Well, I do know one phrase.
Well, that doesn't mean you know a second language, but go ahead, share, Red.
Ready?
Yeah.
Bulldog ushtetek kivana.
What's that mean?
Happy Easter, Grandma.
Okay. Well, Grandma Chase always gave us something for every holiday. Like my family, my mom and dad and I moved from Sabetha to North Platte, Nebraska in like 76, I think.
And how
I was two.
How far is that from?
At the time, with the speed limits that 55 miles an hour on the interstate back then, it was like a 6-hour drive. You know, because the speed limit was 55, you could go about 60.
Do you know why it was 55, by the way?
It was... Well, no, tell me.
I will tell you because I lived through this. In 1973, we had the gas shortage.
That's what I thought.
Okay, and gas prices shot up. And so just to conserve gas, the Highway Association adopted 55 speed limits for all national roads.
And that's, yeah.
And it lasted about 3 years.
Oh, it lasted a lot longer than that in Nebraska. Okay. But, yeah.
There was tremendous outcry against it.
Well, so it was about a 6-hour drive when I was a little kid.
Okay.
But Grandma Chase would always make sure to, like, just send us a card at Valentine's Day, send us a card at Easter. She would send these random boxes to the house, and it would just be a box full of, like, treats for all of us. A lot of times my mom would get dish towels or, like, a shirt. She would send clothes for me and my brothers. There would always be candy and maybe even a couple toys in there. It was always very exciting when a box from Grandma Chase showed up. We absolutely loved it.
Did this continue throughout your whole childhood?
Yeah, really, it did. She was such a sweet lady that, and I just loved her so much that when I was a kid, she came to visit the family, and I talked her into coming and sitting with me at school in second grade. So she actually came with me to school in the morning, had a little chair, and sat next to my desk until lunchtime.
Nice.
And then she went home. Yeah. She super hard worker. I mean, that was the crazy thing about Grandma Chase. She was so generous, but she was always working so hard.
Did she have a job?
Well, when I was young, she had a job like waitressing. I remember her being a waitress at a couple of the like places to eat in Sabetha, the Midway Cafe and some like roasted chicken place. But she did all kinds of stuff. They told stories about her going out and just picking up corn from the fields, walking around the cornfields after the combines have gone through and picking up any pieces of corn that the combines missed and then selling that and getting money for that. My mom told stories about just the other day. She was telling me about how as kids, they'd go out into the woods and harvest gooseberries.
Gooseberries?
Yeah. I don't even know what they taste like. I don't know if I've ever had a gooseberry. But she'd go out in the woods. She'd take the kids and they'd go out and roam through the timber and pick gooseberries and just get bags and buckets full of them. And then they'd fill up quart jars with gooseberries.
And what could be made from gooseberries?
I'm guessing jam.
Jams, right.
Yeah,
right.
Stuff like that. But then she'd make her kids go and knock on the doors in the neighborhood and say, would you like to buy any gooseberries? And if the people bought them, they had to dump them into their own container because she wasn't going to give them that quart jar. That was coming back home with her.
It was a different time.
Grandma always had a giant garden. She always canned all kinds of vegetables. Like really making sure she was self-sufficient, going to have food and storing it, you know. She always had, I remember as a kid, she always had a perfect Christmas tree. We'd always go there at some point during Christmas. It was usually over New Year's Eve.
Did she go to, like, my brother lives out in Montana, and it's a smaller town, and he goes out and chops his Christmas
tree. Hers was a fake Christmas tree.
Fake Christmas.
Artificial, and it was always decorated almost exactly the same every year, and it was perfect. And us kids never touched it. We just sat in awe of it. And the pile of presents she had for us underneath it. I mean, she gave us so many good presents as kids.
What was one of your favorites?
One of my favorites that sticks out right away is as a kid, I always wanted my own little mini TV radio. They used to sell these like TV radios, and it had a 4.5-inch TV screen and an AM/FM radio built into it and an antenna. And I always wanted one because I thought, oh, we'll be able to plug it into the car's cigarette lighter,
right,
and watch TV on this 6-hour drive, right, to grandma's house.
And so she got you one?
She did. And that was a big gift.
Did your siblings, were they jealous?
She did spoil me a little bit more, honestly. She would play it off as, well, you're the oldest, and when they get a little bit older, they'll get more too. Like a couple of like other just classic Grandma Chase stories. This one, I mean, just really goes to show how hard of a worker she is.
Right.
Like she had five kids. She had three sons, Uncle Richard, Uncle Bob. Then she had Aunt Carol, then my mom, and then the youngest, Uncle Kid, the baby.
Was your mom the fourth child then?
Fourth child in the list. Now I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, okay. Uncle Bob, he bought a motel in Sabetha. He had lived in different places, Wichita. He owned a gas station, different stuff. He ended up moving back to Sabetha, and he bought like the motel in the town.
How big was the motel?
Probably 30 rooms.
30 rooms?
All just one floor. You know,
right.
If you've ever driven through a small town and seen the motel, that's what it was.
Exactly. There's one of those out in Painesville.
They're all over Nebraska and Kansas, all over. Well, my grandma, of course, worked at the motel, whether it was the front desk or cleaning rooms. It was like a family kind of affair.
Right.
So one day it was wintertime. She's in her 70s, probably past 75, even upper 70s, probably. She's outside in the wintertime going back and forth, you know, because it's all outdoor rooms. You go and cleaning, and it's icy, and she slips, then she falls, and she breaks her nose, and she breaks the top plate of her dentures.
Oh, my God.
And she goes into the little room where they do all the wash and fold the towels and all that stuff, and she grabs wash rags and starts sopping up the blood, and she like fills up three wash rags full of blood.
Right, right. That's pretty severe.
To finally get her nose to stop bleeding. She gets it to stop bleeding and she goes and talks to, it was either Laverne or Frankie, one of the other older women who worked at the motel. And she says, I think I broke my nose. And she was like, it looks broke to me. Well, all the doctor's going to tell you is it's broke though.
Right.
And my grandma Chase was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go ahead and clean the rest of my rooms and then maybe I'll go to the doctor.
Did she go to the doctor?
I don't even know if she went to the doctor. I do remember her telling me she was so happy she didn't have to buy a new top plate for her dentures. The dentist had this glue and he was able to glue it back together and I'm good as new again.
So how long did your uncle own that motel chain?
Oh, geez, a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it profitable?
Well, he wouldn't have kept doing it if it wasn't.
Okay.
You know, I think it got to the point where it was making less money because another motel, a newer one, got built on the outside of town. And he was getting to the age where he didn't want to deal with it anymore, and they sold it. Uncle Bob has passed away. He was having health problems, lung cancer. He was very generous with me too. As a college kid, there were times that me and my friends would drive from Lincoln, where the University of Nebraska, to Kansas City to see a concert. Well, it's about 2.5 hours, and then, you know, the concert doesn't get over till 11:30.
Right.
Rather than driving all the way back, we'd just stop in Sabetha.
Was that close to the concert venue?
It was about an hour from our house, so we'd drive about an hour and a half back to Sabetha. He'd either give us a room for free, just let us stay.
Oh, that's nice when you're that age.
Oh, it's huge. Or my grandma'd say, just stay at my house. They always fed us. Uncle Bob would always be like, I know I shouldn't do it. He had that kind of voice.
Right.
I know I probably shouldn't. Don't tell your mother. You guys want this leftover beer that people have left at the motel? And he'd just give us random.
And you're like 18, 19?
We were like 19.
Okay.
And
of course you said yes.
And oh my God, sometimes it was like the worst beer and it'd give you the worst hangover, but we drank it every single time anyway.
Because you were 19.
Well, yeah, we're sophomores in college and broke and someone's offering free beer.
Free beer, right.
And you can't even go to the store and buy it yourself yet. I mean, yeah. Another funny Grandma Chase story. This one's just so out of character for her. The whole family was in Sabetha at the house that, the only house I think of really when I think of Grandma Chase's house. She lived at that second house in Sabetha for a lot of years, but I still think of her house as the house that I lived at when I was 2 years old.
Was it a two-floor house?
Yeah. Big two-floor house with a freaky basement. Huge yard, huge garden, nice place, 5 bedrooms.
Five bedrooms?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
1 bathroom.
For the whole house?
For the whole house.
Holy cow.
With a bathtub, no shower.
Wow.
And grandma would never let you, it was a giant claw tooth bathtub, you know?
Right.
You could have filled it up 2.5 feet deep. Because she always looking for a bargain, always taking care of her money.
She was frugal.
She was very generous, extremely generous. So I don't know if frugal is the right word, but she kept track of her money for sure.
Right.
She wouldn't let us fill it up more than like 2 or 3 inches.
Really?
So we'd be, as little kids, we'd be sitting in a bathtub that like didn't even, you know.
Didn't even cover your peepee.
Didn't even cover our legs. Yeah. Didn't even get up over your waist. Well, we didn't always want to go take a bath at grandma's house. And I remember she must've got me in there because I remember being out of the bath and her yelling at my brother Chuck to get in the bathtub. And she never was yelling at anyone. Never, always the sweetest woman. Well, she must've got fed up with Chuck because I remember laying in the family room and seeing her with Chuck in front of her, kneeing him in the butt all the way through the family room saying, you are going to get in this bathtub. And she kneed him in the butt with every step all the way through the family room, all the way through the kitchen.
Was he naked?
No. I think he had a bathrobe on actually.
Oh, okay.
And, or maybe he just had a pair of his underwear on. I don't remember. I was little too. And I didn't go into the bathroom to see this, but Chuck says, and then I got to the tub and she just picked me up and slam dunked me into the tub.
In 3 inches of water.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was like so out of character for her, but we still joke about that story, how funny it was to see grandma kneeing Chuck in the butt with every step all the way through the family room and into the kitchen.
How old was Chuck at that time?
Oh, he must have been, I'd guess, between 5 and 7 years old. I was probably between 6 and 8 years old. Little.
Yeah.
Grandma could still manhandle us back then.
How tall was she?
Oh, she was a tall lady. She was probably 5'10".
Oh, that's a tall lady.
Yeah, my mom's 5'6", and she was much taller than my mom.
Oh, wow.
She's taller than I am now.
See, that's a formidable woman.
Yeah. Oh,
especially when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and she, Grandma Chase, from as long as I can remember, was the kind of lady who would go to the hairdresser once a week. They'd wash her hair and set her hair, and then she would not wash it again until it was time to go back to the hairdresser. Her hair did not move. And she would have this little...
Was it curly?
Yeah. She would have this little pink tape that she would tape the sides of her hair while she slept. And us kids always had to have grandma put a little piece of tape on the sides of our hair, too. Had absolutely no reason for it. Did absolutely nothing. But we just wanted to be like grandma.
Right, right. Did the other kids like her as much as you did?
I think so. Grandma Chase really treated us all very kindly and very generously. My mom, I was talking to her the other day, asking her about Grandma Chase stories. And she said, my absolute favorite is when grandma was in her 70s. Great grandma Klein, my Grandma Chase's parents, Grandpa Klein was still alive. Great grandpa Klein was still alive. Great grandma Klein had passed away. And my grandma then, when that happened, she started going out and staying the night out there just to kind of look after him a little bit. Well, her and my mom, the casino on the Indian reservation, really close to where my grandma lives, had just opened up. And grandma goes and tells her dad, who she always called daddy.
Even
in her 70s. Well, I need to go tell daddy we're going to go see Carol and we're going to drop Sarah off. So they did that. They ran over to Powhatan, where my aunt lives, my mom's sister, dropped off my little sister, and the two of them hightailed it straight to the casino. And they stayed there, and by the time they got back, it was like 2 a.m. And as they're walking in, my grandma turns to my mom and says, shh, be quiet. I didn't tell daddy we were going to be out this late. And my mom was like, it was the funniest thing, sneaking back into the house when I'm in my 40s and my mom's in her 70s,
right,
we don't want to wake up daddy.
Shh,
shh. I didn't tell daddy we were going to be out this late. Just the best stuff. Grandma Chase, I mean, it was really, when she passed away, it was really hard for me because that was definitely a funeral I wanted to be at and never thought in the world I wouldn't be at.
And how old were you when she died?
It happened in 2020 during the pandemic.
Oh, so this is recent.
Yeah, I was not able to attend the funeral because of the pandemic.
Wow.
And I watched it. They actually put a live webcam on it, and I was able to watch the service and watch the graveside service. I saw my family there.
Right, right. Well, that's...
But at the time, there were super...
Some compensation.
It was a super high spike in COVID then, and it was early enough in it that people didn't really know what to expect.
And you observed it. You observed them. Distance and the mass.
I was able to. Well, yeah, the church service. She's not Catholic, but I do want to read her obituary, and we can kind of wrap it up with that.
Cool.
Loretta Jeanette Klein / Chase, 92 years old, of Sabetha, passed to her heavenly home on December 10th, 2020. She was born on May 13th, 1928, to Ivan and Dorothy Klein at the farmhouse near Fairview. She married Earl Chase, and to this union was born 3 sons and 2 daughters. Loretta is survived by Richard Chase, who lives in Tulsa, Carol and Dale, who live in Powhatan, Susan and John, my mom and dad, who live in North Platte, and Stephen and Deborah, who live in Sabetha.
Are they all in Nebraska?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, Powhatan, Kansas, North Platte, Nebraska, and Sabetha, Kansas. She is also survived by her sister, Joanne Jackson, who actually just passed away recently within the last couple of weeks, along with 13 grandkids, numerous great-grandkids, and great-great-grandkids.
A very rich life.
After graduating from Fairview High School, she helped her dad on the farm until she married Earl Lloyd Chase on June 1st, 1947. Loretta spent her life enjoying her family, friends, and especially grandkids. Her love of gardening, picking gooseberries, and crushing walnuts was several of her many hobbies. If a person were to describe Loretta, they would have said a God-fearing, family-loving, caring person. It is amazing to all of us that Christmas was her favorite holiday and God chose for her to head home prior to her favorite time of the year.
Nice.
And that's Grandma Chase.
That's a fine testament to a fine woman.
It really is. And I'm happy to get to brag about her because she was just such a wonderful part of my childhood and growing up.
You were lucky to have a very influential grandparent. I did not have that in my own life, but as I taught for all those years, I watched grandparents have huge parts of their kids' lives, and it's paramount.
Yeah,
the development of a child.
No, I feel very lucky that I was close with both my mom's parents and my dad's parents. Right. Grandma Chase was wonderful and generous, and Grandma Milne was a wonderful lady too, in a lot of different ways. But I'd be happy to talk about her sometime too, because she was very kind to me, especially as an older child, getting up into my teens and early 20s.
Well, maybe we'll have Grandma Part 2.
Maybe we will. But I think for now,
We'll end on that note.
We'll wrap it up.
Fine note.
And just say, this was another
fantastic episode
of Red Squared.